listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. We got an action-packed day after the Super Bowl, Monday. Recap special for you. Yep. What was the takeaways? On the field, in the sports books, RJ's pocket, Fez's pocket, Brad's pocket. Speaking of the boys, the pros who know, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik. Bottom of the hour, we're going to give you the favorites to win next year's Super Bowl and an up arrow, down arrow for each. Professional style, which way are these favorites trending? Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, on the final football Monday of the 2018-2019 season here on Straight Out of Vegas. And we start off in the NFL Super Bowl 53. The Pats beat the Rams 13-3 on Sunday night. A sixth Super Bowl championship for New England in the lowest scoring Super Bowl of our time. RJ, your main takeaway from the Super Bowl is different than anything else I've heard. Please explain.
Yeah, I feel strongly about this one, too. And everyone, be honest. It's going to be something probably you're at fault. You're going to listen and probably have two reactions, possibly. One is, wow, RJ's right. That's going to be the smart one. Or it will be, man, not me. That ain't me. And here's what it is. We as fans do not understand what results in, what's required to win at football. We think about it, the NFL, like a fantasy league. How cool is the quarterback? Does the coach have a six-pack? Or even does the coach have sleeves? That might not be sexy, but it's kind of football sexy to think, oh, the hoodie. And also, how hot is the wife of the quarterback? And a lot of these factors, what kind of end zone dance? How cool is Instagram? A lot of these factors that I get it as a culture, it's interesting. And if you tell me, listen, RJ, I don't bet. And half of our listeners don't even bet. I don't bet. I don't really care who wins. I want to have fun. Like I watch the Kardashians, someone may say, to have fun. I'm going to follow football the same way. I'd be like, hey, salute, more power to you. But most of you aren't going to admit to that. Most bettors, especially, are not going to admit to that. So now the question becomes, what does it take to really win? And I think the Super Bowl was the best example we ever saw that what it takes to win is very different than what we think it takes to win, because what we think is more enjoyable. It's more fun to follow. And here's what I'm going to pose. The following question. Imagine a blind resume like they do in the NCAA tournament. It's just the players and their pedigree, their stats. And if you look at the Patriots and you say, we got a 41-year-old quarterback. We haven't seen a quarterback that age perform at an elite level for a long, long time. We've got what else do we have? We have this slot possession receiver that seems pretty good. And we got this cornerback that Pro Football Focus says is pretty good, though I don't quite understand what Pro Football Focus, how they calibrate that stuff and calculate it, but I'll trust him. He's pretty good. And a tight end that, man, this guy used to be good, But boy, he must be hurt or something. What else? Oh, and we've got a great coach, but he's getting up there. He's about 70. He doesn't have a six-pack abs, and he doesn't drink six packs of beer, probably. So we can't relate. What else? Fezzik, Brad, Jonas. If you were doing a blind resume and say, no, I maybe some of the listeners would miss it, but I wouldn't. Here's what would tell me just how good the Patriots were and are. Anything? I don't think so. They're all shaking their head on the radio. So that means no. Fez, what could it even be?
Like, that roster, RJ, the Patriots have, it's mediocre.
Well, no. See, I'll disagree with that. I think the O-line has played wonderfully well. It's just that's something we don't think all that much about.
It's a
unless,
great point.
Unless there's a big name, right? When they let their left tackle go to the Giants, that was going to be a big problem. But then when the line plays better, it's not much of a conversation. The D-line played pretty well. Right, but we don't really, you know, we know that Hightower's name because he was with Alabama. But what we hear more often, quite frankly, is, oh, Hightower's too slow to cover backs. When I heard people talk about Hightower this 2-week lead up to the game, more than half of it was negative. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
All right. So I think what we're saying is that we don't understand it. And even someone as expert, and I say this sincerely, expert is Colin Cowherd when it comes to football. He knows football. I've talked to Colin hundreds of hours about football over the years. Half on air, half off air probably is fair to say. And he knows football. He went on the radio, what was it, maybe November 15th, I'm thinking. Well, it was right after Josh Gordon left the team. And said, that's it, the dynasty's dead. He didn't have them in his top 10. Even with knowing it's Brady and Belichick. And that's the thing. That's what obscures, I think, how much we're missing, what we're missing. To what degree we just don't get it as fans, what wins at football. Because we've said, oh, yeah, but Belichick will figure something out. Don't count out Brady. We all got that. I mean, we've been trained to not count those guys out. If we didn't have that, we would have looked at this team and shrugged our shoulders like last year's Vikings or something. Wouldn't have meant nothing to us. And if they won, we would have said, OMG, that's a shocker. It was a fluke. Fez.
I think you brought up a great point in terms of the O-line and the protection for Brady. Let's think about the playoffs. Chargers, Bosa and Ingram, really good pass rushers. Can't sack Brady once. Kansas City.
Big names, though, by the way.
Big,
high draft choices.
Big, sexy
and when they're,
names.
And when their hamstrings are hurt, every week we're getting an update.
Exactly. And then they go to Kansas City. What's the one thing the KC defense is very good at? Getting after the quarterback. Again, they can't get to Brady, and he doesn't get sacked. And then in the Super Bowl, Brady only gets sacked once against the Rams. And think about how important this is. 41-year-old Brady, if he's getting hit, if he's getting sacked, he's likely not going to hold up and play as well.
It's one example, a key example, Fez, of the factors that make the Patriots the champions this year, that made them the champions, that we just don't talk much about. And I get it. On the radio, on the television, remember in The Shining, he goes, it must be true. He saw it on the television. On the television, it can't be boring. But if you're going to bet this especially, or if you want to know more than your buddies, which the non-bettors do who listen to this show, by the way, straight out of Vegas, I'm RJ Bell, talking about how the Pats instruct us about our ignorance of football. Yes, ignorance. I think it's important to try to move in that direction. Understand, we might enjoy watching something on television about the new fast wide receiver of Team X, but if you want to be honest, if you want to be accurate about what wins in the NFL, look to and study this Patriots team. You can have fun as a recreational pursuit, as a fan of football, but if you want to act like you know something, you got to know more than dismissing the Patriots, because clearly dismissing the Patriots was wrong.
And to your guys' point, quickly on the offensive line, they addressed it in the draft. They took Isaiah Wynn, first-round pick out of Georgia, tore his Achilles in the offseason, never played a snap. So they thought they found their replacement, and even without him, they still won a Super Bowl.
And getting rid of Josh Gordon not working out. Yep. Everyone says, oh, that was such a big deal. Except, no, it was pretty much a free roll. It was, if it works, great. And if it doesn't, no big deal. That's what Belichick does. That's what smart gamblers do. And it's not about gambling with green eye shades or getting into clubs at 3 a.m. What gambling is about is making smart decisions that you get the best of. And if anybody in football does that, it's Belichick for sure. Jonas, you made a great point. New England probably is better next year. And we'll be addressing that when we go down the 11 teams that are favored next year to win the Super Bowl, all 20-1 or better, up arrow, down arrow for each. I'll give you a little tease. Up arrow Patriots is very likely.
Guys, New England's not the only team, the only group of individuals that deserve a round of applause and deserve to take a bow and probably go out, float on a parade and go down this downtown in Boston. Here on Straight Out of Vegas, it is take a bow time. Because you talk about a bunch of guys who called their shot at Super Bowl 53 over and over again. RJ, what kind of damage did SOV do during Super Bowl 53?
Well, listen, let's get to proper background music. It's a little 80 celebration here, baby. We killed it. I mean, let's start with the unlikely win. Brad Powers with Edelman over. It seems so square. You actually changed your pick without telling anybody because your first pick from the podcast moved the line so much. Maybe it was you. Maybe it wasn't. We won't say. Almost 500,000 listeners. So come on. You had to pick another one. Yep. And I thought, oh my gosh, did that seem square? So I pressed the green button. I lost 100 from it.
You lost in the first half, RJ.
I appreciate you telling me that. Fez, you got it so many which ways. I'm sure you've got it memorized. Hit us quick.
Yeah, so no score in the first 5 minutes, 30 seconds. And, of course, we played the second half to outscore the first half. Had Tom Brady under 300 pass yards. Did lose on Brandon Cooks under 75 reception yards.
Boy, that feels like we should have won on that one.
He was right on 75 when New England was running out the clock.
So you're telling me it took a fluke for us to lose?
Yes.
That's the kind of losses I can deal with because they don't happen all that often. Now, I had under first quarter right here on our special Sunday show. Put out on my Twitter the video of it. Had like 40,000 views. A lot of thanks for that. But boy, none of that even compares to the final. Friend of mine in Jersey. Friend of mine in Jersey. He texts me. Actually, a DM, and he said, I know who the national anthem. I said, give me the verbatim quote from his buddy, who apparently was a guard or something during the rehearsal. And I looked at the quote, and I said, wow, that looks legit. So I tweeted out, hey, there's no short things, but I am not uncertain, is what I said, for all you Billions fans out there, that it's going to go over. The timing was a minute 59, and the timing was 2 minutes on the two times that they did a rehearsal. The over-under at the time was a minute 55. So I said, boys, I've max bet this. Go, go, go. And literally, I mean, I'd say more people bet this for my Twitter than anything we've ever done because it was truly inside information. And we're always very careful to explain how rare that is. Like if someone's saying, we got inside info, be careful. But we had it. We were within a second, Fez, of being exactly right on the time. So you might think, RJ, you're making too big a deal about this. No. The New York Post, one of the biggest papers in the country, had an article up by halftime talking about this show and RJ having the information, the inside scoop, before the event. And that everyone won on it, and it was a catastrophe for the bookies. Let me tell you something. I like to wreck havoc and catastrophes for bookies. I don't care if you like that or not. When we come back, there's actually a controversy about the national anthem. We'll get to that and how these bad bookies are trying to take advantage of people.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas! Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes, it is still the biggest mystery involving Super Bowl 53. We'll get to that here coming up a couple minutes from now on Straight Outta Vegas.
We have fun each weekday bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 57 degrees, and the neon is pumping. By the way, Fez, there's limits to how long these segments can be. We had two important additional bragging things to say. I was all over. I mean, like every freaking show, the Patriots over rushing yards. That one wasn't even close, right?
Well, it was close for a while, but you pulled.
Oh, yeah. When you have a full season or a full game to get the rushing yards, it's usually not going to happen in the first quarter.
You won it by over 30 yards, RJ. Solid pick.
If he had it, you wouldn't hear that.
You didn't have to sweat.
I mean, jeez. And then the lock of lock. Now, you might think when I had inside information, that would have been the lock that I put out on Twitter. By the way, guys. If you bet and you're not following me and I'm giving you pretty much locks, what the heck? Talk about negative EV at RJ in Vegas. Now, the inside stuff only comes a couple times a year, but when it comes, be ready. But we had, I think some might say, a lock even more secure, certain. Jonas's favorite prop. He is the Joe of this show. I like that. Jonas is the Joe of this show. And we said, pick your favorite prop. We're going to bet a nickel, that's 500, against it. Jonas picks a prop I end up liking. So I said, whoa, I'm changing the rules. Now, how'd that prop do?
It won. Gronk over four receptions.
So in a way, we got another winner by not fading it. Then we said, there's no way he's going to have two sharp ones in a row. And he did not disappoint. Fez?
Yeah, Jonas went with the square ball play. Over 2.5 players will throw a pass in the Super Bowl. And, of course, it did not happen.
Now, first of all, the pick, Gronkowski over 4 catches, that was the lock of the century. Okay, and I had to put it back. I felt like I was picking produce out, and I had a nice ripe cantaloupe. And instead, I gave it over to an elderly woman behind me, and I took another one, and I got home, and it was rotten. I can't help if Sean McVay and Bill Belichick decide, you know what, we're just going to let the two worst quarterbacks on the field throw the ball. Nobody else gets a chance to throw it. Blame their game plan, not me.
Well, Edelman was a quarterback, what, at Ken or something?
Yeah, who knows,
Johnny, right?
Hecker throws every game except for the Super Bowl. They screwed me on that. That was an intentional shot below the belt.
Somehow we weren't afraid of it somehow. And we sent out the timestamp bet we made for the nickel. I mean, for us, it's pizza money, Jonas, but thank you.
All right, there we go. So I guess we're going to call it, moving forward, it'll be Fade Fridays. Just fade every pick I make every Friday. All right, Straight Out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Guys, Yarji, you were talking about the national anthem. So you gave out insider information, and it paid out big on the length of the national anthem. But there is some controversy regarding that national anthem. Please explain.
Yeah, CBS News is covering this. Fox is covering this on the news side. Both of them quoted my tweets. Yeah, we had the inside info. But here's the thing. Remember, bookies are bad. No one should be confused about that. If you read the fine print and some of the prop houses or sports books that had the props up, it said after the first Brave, which is the last word of the national anthem, the clock stops. So it's like, well, wait a minute. She's still singing, but apparently the length of time it takes to sing it doesn't count that singing? That actually sounds absurd. Now listen, if we were in a court of law, they'd be right. But just think for a minute. The bookies know that's not instinctual. The idea that she's still singing, but the clock is stopped. I mean, it's like extra time in soccer, so it doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make sense to me either, but that's a whole different conversation.
And they don't even show you how much extra time is left in soccer. That makes no sense.
That's like for June, we'll be talking about that. But the fact of the matter is, that it just shows you these books are ruthless. They're like sharks. You ever read about sharks or on the Nature Channel that they're remorseless? They're just going to chop you up. They're not thinking, oh, he might have a kid that needs walk to school, hone his hand or what? No, they're not thinking that. They're thinking, this is tasty. That's how, that's how the bookies are. They smell blood. They're not feeling any guilt. Fez, you, even you got burnt.
Yeah, so I went to look at one of my accounts, and I won on the Anthem. I was happy. I looked at my second account. I bet this on. What's this, RJ? Anthem over is a loser. They graded me a loser on that bet. Different rule at that book.
How many different places did you bet the Anthem? How many did you win?
I bet it twice, and I went 1-1 on their gradings.
Boy, that's square. You, I gave you a short thing. You could, you couldn't win money?
Well, I was betting a whole lot of things, RJ. I was running short on cash to bet at that point because I had literally 45 different Super Bowl bets.
What's your take, Brad?
My take is when you come to the national anthem, hadn't we seen a couple books just grade them automatic winners, whether you went over or under? If I'm a sports book and I want some good publicity, I just grade everyone a winner. I end the controversy and getting back in the good graces of everyone.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If you have a sports book that spends money advertising, they understand the value of a brand. And because of that, they usually won't try to hustle you like this. The ones without the brands, they figure we're going to be operating under a different name next year anyway, probably. What's the difference? So the real actionable advice, one is I actually have to side with the books because it's in the details of the prop. So read it closely. I actually tweeted out. I heard this was going to be an issue, and I tweeted out, everyone, look at your specific prop, because if they stop at – now, the funny thing is you would think if they were stopping on the first brave that they would be like 6, 7, 8 seconds less. They yeah. were the same time. So this is a sign the sports books knew what was happening. And if they would have moved to 202 or something, which was over the time I heard the rehearsal was, it would have looked suspicious. So I wonder, I don't know, did they have that rule in there at the beginning? Or was it for all the later bets they changed it? That is interesting. But either way, here's how we can close. Be careful, read the fine print, and understand this about bookies.
Cockroaches. Cockroaches, yeah.
It's true, Jones.
Guys, the biggest mystery in Super Bowl 53 leading up into it, we talked about it at Radio Row in Atlanta all week long. What the hell is wrong with Todd Gurley? He enters Super Bowl 53, 10 carries, 35 yards when it's all said and done, and he spoke about his own health and status after the game.
I'm fine. I'm completely fine. Did an MRI after the Philly game. I'm fine, so I'm just, you know, happy to be able to be healthy to finish out the season. I know it's been a lot of concerns about my health and stuff, but I really am fine, though.
Wow. So lots of concerns about my health. I took an MRI after the Philly game. Now, the Philly game was what, 6, 8 weeks ago? That was the one where they were 13-point favorites on Sunday night, right?
Yeah, yeah, back week 15.
Okay. And he sat out the next two games.
So he was fine after it, but sat out two games. Wow. And then he says, I know there's been lots of concerns about my health, which means, okay, that's interesting, but you're not on the injury report. So listen, guys, there is no rhyme or reason to this. The only question we have left, is this going to be an issue? Because the NFL doesn't want it to be an issue. They want to forget about it. Remember when LeBron came out with a cast after he lost the finals? He never saw a cast before, never saw it again. I think he was skydiving or something like 3 days later. I'm not sure about that. But he was doing something very physical 3 days later. Do you remember, Jonas?
Yeah. It was something like that. I think he was jumping off a cliff or something like that.
I mean, seriously, yeah, it was something pretty intense. But everyone kind of forgot about it, right? Like, it's like, wait a minute. It's like the guy that gets burnt in flag football when you're like 8 and he comes up limping, right? But he's not limping a minute later, right? So somehow the NFL hopes we forget that Gurley can't be right. And Brad, you actually had some film guys you listened to that said he wasn't right.
No, what they've seen from Gurley, at least the last couple of games, is, you know, top end speed looked fine for Gurley, but when it comes to lateral movement, side to side, getting around the edge, just didn't look like the same player he was earlier in the season.
And his average number of carries in the regular season, Fez, over 20, right?
Yeah, he was right around 18 to 19 back in November.
And then oftentimes those weren't competitive games. In competitive game where they're putting in the backup because they're winning by so much.
Exactly.
So probably at least 20 you'd expect in a competitive game.
Sure.
And he had 4 against the Saints and half as much, 10, in the Super Bowl.
And only but one catch, RJ.
But nothing's wrong. Nothing to see here. Come on. I'll say it one more time. There's millions in the Super Bowl. There's billions of dollars being bet. The NFL is making an agreement with us. They are telling us it's obligatory. It's mandatory for the teams to tell you the truth on injuries. They'd have every right to say, we're not going to tell you. We don't give a care. They can say that. But then that's a different story. They're saying, we're telling you the truth. But now I'm going to bet upon that truth. If I had bet big money on Gurley over, and then I file, not me, because I'm not litigious unless absolutely necessary. There's a great line on Billions again where he goes, it was the Russian mobster. He goes, I have lawyers read the contract. They don't enforce the contract. That was kind of scary. I'm not one for lawsuits unless it's necessary. But imagine if someone else said, well, wait a minute, they're lying to me. And I'm betting on that information. Boy, now what do? You get Gurley up on the stand. You get the trainer up on the stand. Class action style. What are they? They're going to perjure themselves? Because I tell you this, the best bet of the week would be that there has been true internal injury concerns about Gurley. Would you make a major bet on that, Fez?
There has to be something going on, RJ.
I don't know about has to be, but it's well over 80%.
Sure.
So the idea that they're playing us for a fool and thinking there's no consequence, luckily, Straight Out of Vegas listeners, we've been calling them out all week down on Radio Row. I don't care if Goodell's walking by or not. I'm saying it. I don't give a care. So to me, I think this is bad. I think this probably gets forgotten. But put it in your back pocket. We're going to see a class action lawsuit like this within the next couple years.
We're Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Monday night. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Jonas, does Isaac have like an acting audition coming up after?
He is the one of the best of all time I've ever heard.
At acting?
At everything.
Make sure he remembers the following.
I had lawyer read. I don't have lawyer enforce.
Very important. All right, guys. We got the Super Bowl odds for next season. Yep. We don't mess around. They're out there. We actually have a shop line at ESPN. They put up like one sports book. Yeah, well, we've got a sharp line. Why? Because each sports book has their own biases. And what does it mean? We take three different sports books, like an average batter would, usually has about three outs, and we'll tell you the best number of the three. That's the best representation, I think. Now, there's 11 teams that are 20-1 or better. So I'm going to name each one in order and tell you my decision, up arrow next year, down arrow, or flat. And then Fezzik, Brad, and Jonas each have, well, Brad and Jonas were given two vetoes. They can say, oh, no, that's wrong. Fez will let him talk as much as he wants because he did win the Super Contest twice. Right, Fez?
Twice.
Two times.
Back to back.
That's true, just for fun. So here we go. The 11th favorite to win it, and there's three-way tie at 20-1, the Minnesota Vikings. I am going to say flat next year. Any big disagreements? Fez, what do you think?
I'm going to say up in Zimmer. I trust the Vikings had a little bit of
Did Zimmer coach this year?
Yeah.
So what, he's going to get smarter as he moves through his 60s?
He can't like overachieve every single year.
So it's going to take them overachieving. They're naturally not that talented.
Well, second year with their quarterback with Keenum now, I think.
But isn't it interesting? They're going to be on which coordinator?
Cousins. Cousins, sorry.
Which coordinator are they going to be?
That's a concern.
Because to me, what did we learn from this season? Offense is king. The top four offenses were the final four teams. Now, the fact that that coordinator position is so tumultuous, the fact that Cousins in the big games, you know, Bill Simmons says, listen to the fans of where a player's been. They know that player the best. And the Cousins, the Washington fans said, good riddance, this guy can't play in big games. I'm not saying that's true. I'm saying, boy, it seems like another year is backing that up. In an offensive league, I really wonder about Cousins, and I wonder about Zimmer, a great coach in general, but offensively, a lot of disruption this year. Fez, I'll let you reverse yourself if you want to, you know, move closer to being correct.
No,
you can stay where you are.
You bring up a great point that offense is king, and I'm back in a defensive team here, but still up arrow with Zimmer in Minnesota.
Okay, next, 20-1, the Green Bay Packers. Down arrow. This is all about the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, one of the greats of all time, talent-wise. In the great moments, some of the greatest moments we've ever seen. It's just physical. If you had to say, what can a quarterback do physically on the field? If you show 20 plays, Aaron Rodgers might have three of them in the history of the NFL. He's getting older. He's not like Brady. TB12, there's none of that going on. I think we've seen the beginning of his big drop-off, and boy, that team feels gutted other than that. Down arrow for me. Jonas using one of his vetoes.
Yeah, I'm a down arrow on this as well, too. This is
what?
This is one I spotted when the list came out and you sent it to us. I'm down on this. Aaron Rodgers, at some point, health has got to be an issue. I mean, we are seeing years in a row where Aaron Rodgers is not healthy for an entire season. He didn't look right all last year. There's been issues with the offensive line. And then they hire Matt LaFleur as a head coach, a guy who was a one-year play caller in Tennessee, and their offense wasn't anything to brag about. And from somebody I talked to, Aaron Rodgers had zero input in the hire of Matt LaFleur. I'm down on the Green Bay Packers.
Wow. See, I actually like the LaFleur hire because I didn't think he had the gravitas to butt heads. It's almost like this. You know, there's a show I really like. A lot of people don't watch it. It's called Rome. And it was back in like 2004 and 5. It was on 2 years on HBO. And it's about the Roman Empire and Caesars. And there was a kid who eventually became the ruler of Rome. But they said, oh, you're a horrible swordsman. You got to get better. He said, the worst thing you can be is an average swordsman. If you're bad, you know enough not to get in sword fights, right? Is this guy probably doesn't have, LaFleur probably doesn't have enough power to even try to butt heads with Aaron Rodgers, which I think is a good thing because I don't think you win that one. If McCarthy doesn't win that one, who's going to win it? All that said, I don't really know X's and O's how good he is. Closing thoughts on Green Bay. Fez, what do you agree, down arrow?
Slight down arrow.
Okay. All right. So when we come back, we're going to do a few more teams. We're going to tell you about Straight Out of Vegas post-football and tonight's best bets.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan, coming up here in just a couple of moments. We are going to get to college basketball on a Monday night and look ahead at the top 25 here on SLV.
Yeah, we make a commitment, guys, and this is going to continue after football, if not more so. The biggest TV games of the night. Doesn't matter if you want to maybe bet them or watch them. If you bet them, we're going to help you. If you just want to watch them, you're going to know more than your buddies about those games from this last segment, too, on ESPN tonight. First, though, a couple more teams we're going to go over here in the NFL. And then tomorrow we pick it up with the favorites. We've gone over Minnesota, flat, in my opinion. Green Bay, down arrow. Both of those 20-1. The third 20-1 team, Eagles. Actually, there's four 20-1 teams, so we'll do those two additional ones. Eagles 20-1. I've got them up arrow. To me, this is simple. Carson Wentz wasn't healthy. And I get it. If he goes down again, not having a elite backup is going to be a negative. But to me, they still are on the rookie deal with Carson, and that's so key. And he wasn't healthy. if he plays like he did, not this most recent year, but the year before, the Eagles are a better team. And oh, by the way, the Eagles weren't all that bad to start with. And the fact that right now there's all these teams ahead of them. I mean, literally, they're bunched with these 20-1, Minnesota, Green Bay, Philly, Chicago. The idea that Green Bay and Philly are equal is absurd to me. Green Bay down, Philly up. Any thoughts? Fez, let's start with you.
I agree. I, too, have the up arrow. And what I love is that Wentz just came out. There's reports that he hasn't been the best teammate, some criticism of him. And he said, you know what? I think I can be a better teammate. So he's recognizing that there could be an issue, and he's going to go ahead and address it. I like that.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. Now, Obama in 2008 won handedly. Like, it was one of the real blowouts, right? For example, Reagan against Mondale in 84 was like almost 60% to 40%. But that means 4 out of 10 people voted for Mondale. And the biggest upset or the biggest domination of a presidential election in a long, long time was Reagan. Now, he won 49 states, literally. So now the question is this. You could have got 4 out of 10 people that said, I don't like Reagan. I didn't vote for him. I'm sure in every team, if your goal is to write an article that, oh, the quarterback's a little haughty, he's not a good teammate, even if it was 10%, there's going to be 5 people to talk to. So to me, there were a lot of other people saying Wentz wasn't problematic. The fact he's trying to defuse it by taking blame is probably a good sign. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas going over the top favorites for next season's Super Bowl, never too soon. And last one in the 20-1 range, and then we'll jump in tomorrow with the biggest favorites, Chicago Bears. I've got the Bears flat. A lot of people might think down, but I think there's a culture being built there with Nagy. And I also think there's no reason to think Khalil Mack and those guys aren't going to be just as excited. They had some pretty serious injuries late in the year. Not the biggest names. I think they were better than they played late in the year. Here's why it's not an up arrow for me. I don't believe in Trubisky. This is an offensive league. So if Trubisky takes a major step, certainly it would be an up arrow. I'm skeptical of that. But even if Trubisky stays flat, I think this team stays flat because everything else seems real positive for the Bears. Fez.
I have a down arrow by
the
Bears.
I thought a lot of people would. A lot of people missing.
And here's why. I love your comment about Trubisky. I haven't bought into him completely. And I'm concerned about the strength of schedule for the Bears. They had a very, very easy schedule last year. So whenever we see a new playoff team that makes it with a last place or a mediocre team schedule, and then the schedule gets more difficult, they have trouble the next year.
Now listen, not that we need to parse it here, and we won't. But that's why it's very important to say, are we talking about how good the teams are next year, their power ratings, or how likely it is for them to have a winning year? Those are two different questions. I'm talking about how good the team's going to be. You're adding in another factor, which is what is their headwind or tailwind schedule-wise? And I agree with you, Bears probably, or for sure, a more difficult schedule. That's a tailwind. Doesn't affect, you would agree, how good they truly are.
Yes.
Guys, we'll get to the doubleheader in college basketball in one moment. Want to tell you, on February 14th, the producers of Avatar bring you A Bold New World and A Brave New Hero. Discover the film critics are calling a landmark immersive 3D adventure, Alita: Battle Angel, in theaters and IMAX on February 14th. It's a doubleheader in college hoops on ESPN, tipping off less than 10 minutes from now. It is Louisville at Virginia Tech. Right now, Virginia Tech is a 5-point favorite.
So lane for me is going to be on Louisville plus the 5. I think clear overreaction to last week's results on Saturday. If there was one basketball score that grabbed the attention of many, it involved Louisville's opponent, Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech allowed 24 points to NC State on Saturday, fewest for any ranked team in the shot clock era. I think that's making Louisville's opponent, Virginia Tech, overrated here. That's why I lean with Louisville plus 5.
So you don't like it, but you're fading the love for Virginia Tech.
Yes.
It's a lean.
It's a 9 Eastern time tip-off in Lubbock, where Texas Tech currently is an 11.5-point favorite on pregame.com, hosting West Virginia.
Lean West Virginia for me, plus the 11.5. It's tough for Texas Tech to cover as a large favorite. Why? Texas Tech has the worst offense of any team in the top 30, and Texas Tech, in their last 12 games as a favorite, only 2 covers for the Red Raiders. That's why I lean with West Virginia, plus 11.5.
So you're profiling the team, hey, in a tight, tight game, the fact they don't score a ton doesn't really matter because they don't need margin. It's, hey, it's a pick 'em or whatever,
yep,
or a dog. But when they're a big favorite, big disadvantage to have a team that's weak on offense.
Exactly.
Lean only. On?
West Virginia.
The other team. All right, guys, we just got about 40 seconds. Here's what I'm going to tell you about from here on. We're going to talk about just the right amount of football, the look-aheads, the draft. Also, the key games of the night, for sure. But only in the last segment. The rest of the show is going to be, in this crazy world that we live in, how does the Vegas perspective help us? We might look at sports stories, and a lot of it will be sports, but what it's going to be connected to is how we as Vegas guys think about these sports stories. So during the football season, we're very game-driven. During the non-football season, we're very story-driven on Straight Outta Vegas.
The Odd Couple is next here on FSR. We are Straight Outta Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.